This episode was created with the support of Free FM, Hamilton, New Zealand's community access media organisation. Visit us at freefm.org.nz.
Kia rana.
Guten tag.
Anaseyo. Bangap semnida.
Hola.
Ukana.
Ni hao.
Kia ora.
Hamilton is one of the fastest growing cities in Aotearoa. It's home to 190,000 people from over 170 different ethnicities. The New Wave podcast is on a mission to capture these unique stories, one person and one culture at a time. Join us for season one. This is The New Wave. At the age of just 19, Adisha Verma left her mother and younger siblings in Chandigarh and moved to Auckland to study IT. It wasn't what she'd planned for her future, but following the death of her father, she had a role to play to support her family. Despite loneliness and culture shock, Adisha cracked on, building a career and a family. 16 years later, life is very different, and she's now returning to her first career choice, studying to be a nurse. I'm Kate Prestige. Join me for episode 6 of The New Wave. This is Adisha's story.
Namaste, mera naam hai Adisha Verma. मैं चंडीगढ़ इंडिया से आई हूँ. मुझे यहाँ आए अब 17 साल हो गए हैं. हेलो एवरीवन, माय नेम इज़ अदीशा. आई एम फ्रॉम चंडीगढ़ इंडिया. आई हैव बीन हियर ऑलमोस्ट 17 इयर्स नाउ एंड आई एम अ मम ऑफ टू ब्यूटीफुल किड्स.
Well, no, my heart, my Adisha. Welcome to the New Wave podcast. Thank you for being our guest today.
Thank you for having me.
I want to find out a little bit about your early life and your background. Can you tell us a little bit about where you were born and about your hometown?
I was born in Chandigarh in India. I came to New Zealand when I was 19 years old. Back home, I came straight after I completed my high school, and I was a non-medical student back then. The reason I came to New Zealand was I'm the oldest child in my family, and earlier in 2008, my father passed away because of a health condition, which kind of put all the responsibility, as you can say, on me to help mum and my younger siblings financially. So that was the reason I decided to come to New Zealand. But yeah, here I am.
That was a big responsibility at such a young age. What was life like prior to coming here? Can you tell us a bit about your family and that early life, your childhood?
Yes, I've got two siblings, and there was mum and dad. And India, as you know, is full of colours, traditions and religious and, you know, all that good stuff and food and sweets, not to forget the desserts. So growing up, it was all fun because we were in a big family. My grandparents were living right next door. So, you know, we always used to meet up, greet up and have all the, you know, festivities together and have fun. And all my uncles and aunts were living together with the grandparents too. So they had their own kids. So it was a big family, even though we were living in two different houses. And every month is a celebration. There were birthdays, and we've got hundreds and thousands of festivals, as you know. So yeah, it was very safe, very family oriented. And again, because I was so young, the only responsibility we had was just to study and get good grades. So that was about it back then, as opposed to now. So yeah.
So that approach to study and the importance of that in your family, tell me a bit about that.
It was all we needed to do, and that was the goal, to get high grades. There was pressure as well, because I reckon everyone is just so competitive in India that everyone just wants to get highest grades. So it was a big thing in our house, especially with mum. She was always like, no, if it's not 95 or above, you can leave my house. So it was that bad. So we've always been, all three of us have been really, really good with when it comes to academics. I think this is something that has been incorporated in us right from the beginning. And so even in the school, they were so onto it, like they would push you, especially the ones that are capable of doing. But also in saying that, back in the days, there was comparison, there was that pressure. So it's like you didn't have a choice. You had to get good grades, or you were just, you know, under that inferiority complex all the time and feeling bad. So yeah.
So did your family make sure that all your other needs were provided for so you could just focus?
Yes, 100%. Both mum and dad were working full time. Because the grandparents were next door. After school finished at 3 o'clock, we went straight to the grandparents till mum came back home. So everything was provided. When mum used to come home at 5 o'clock, she used to take us to tuitions just for extra help. So, and then we used to come back home at right 7 or 8 o'clock at night. So that was our routine. 8:30 to 3 o'clock it was school. 5 to 7 or 8 was our tuitions, and we were fed properly. We were given what we needed. So we were looked after just so that we could focus only and only on studies.
What was that time like in the, between school and going off to the tuition with your grandparents?
It was good. We were fed, we were changed, we were looked after. We used to call mum at that time. And because I had younger siblings, I used to kind of get along with them at the time to see if they needed anything. So, yeah, it went fast. Yeah, 2 hours were gone before you knew it, and we had to get ready and dress for tuitions then.
So the extended family was hugely important.
They 100% were. Uncles and aunts, they played a huge role. Not so much grandma because she was old, but uncles and aunts, they really looked after us.
Yeah. Do you have any sort of particular memories from your childhood that have stayed with you, like any really strong memories?
I remember my aunties at the time, they were quite young because mum has 7 other siblings and they really used to love me. They used to sing songs to me and I used to love dancing. I remember every afternoon during that time I used to make sure we used to have a little sitting area outside in grandma's house. And I remember my auntie used to either chop vegetables or do all her preparations for dinner. And I used to get on top of the little table in the sitting area and dance every afternoon. I used to love doing that. Yeah, that's something that's still stuck with me. I miss that. Yeah.
It sounds like they were fun, your
yes.
aunts.
Yeah. They were indeed.
You've talked briefly about the reason that you left. So you finished all of your schooling, but you chose to not to study in India?
Just, yes.
Yeah, talk us through that.
In India, with all the corruption and all the bad things that happened in India, mum was not very confident that it's going to be a safe place for us, even though we had extended family, but everyone had their own children. And now that we were left on our own, mum was kind of scared that, yes, even though the family is there, but they won't always be there to help you, to take you around. We would still have to do everything on our own. And the college that I got into eventually after I gave all the tests was quite far away. So I would have to, if I was still there, I would have to travel 1.5 hour one way every day in a bus. And mum was not happy with that because in the past, dad was taking us everywhere. But now for me to take public transport, she was really concerned. And also with the financial pressure, we didn't think that I would be, you can't work until you graduate in India. Otherwise, you're just doing menial jobs, which mum wouldn't approve of. So in order to have a good, you know, quality of life and so that I can start helping them earlier than I would have been able to if I was back in India, we made the decision that we will come overseas so that I can get on my feet earlier than I would be able to in a safe environment where there's no crime, not as much as in India, and so that I can eventually get them overseas too and we live a good quality of life altogether. So, yeah.
So how did that work? Did you come first on your own?
Yes, I came on my own. I came as a student. I did a diploma in information technology for 1 year. Straight after that, I got a work permit, started working full-time. This whole time I was helping mum financially and alongside that I was paying off my student loan back home too. So along with that, siblings were very young. My brother is 10 years younger and my sister is 6 years younger than me. They completed their schooling. My sister completed her graduation back home. And then eventually, because I was at a place in my life that I could sponsor them so that they could come here. In the meantime, I got married too. I had a beautiful daughter when I was 21. And during this time, mum used to come every 6 months so that she could be with the kids and at the same time she could look after, yeah, the kids back home. So,
oh, so you really quickly made a life here.
I tried my hardest too. I wish I could have done it sooner, but yeah.
Tell us about the circumstances that led to you moving specifically here to Hamilton.
To Hamilton. So when I first came to New Zealand, we were in Auckland for a very long time, almost 6 years. And then due to us not being able to get residency, we had to move to Bay of Plenty. I think within a year we got our residency. We had all the points and whatnot. After that, we stayed in Wahi for 6 years. And it was during this time that my siblings came over to New Zealand. A couple of so years after, when they completed their studies, they moved to Hamilton here. And mum, when she used to come, she would rather stay in a city than in Wahi because of her health conditions too, because the hospital was closer. And then 5 years ago, I got separated and I was on my own. And again, I was alone in Wahi with the 2 kids and I have full-time custody. So I was struggling too with work and with looking after the kids, and especially when they used to come home at 3 o'clock because I used to finish work at 5. So those 2 hours were a bit complicated. We were always on the phone. So I thought, now it's time. I think I do need to make the big move. I can't stay here because we were in Hamilton every weekend anyway with mum. So I was like, now it's time. We need to move closer to them.
Has your mum moved here permanently? permanently now too?
She is still on a visa. She's on the grandparents' visa, but she comes every 18 months. So in 3 years, she's allowed to live here only 18 months at a time. But she's coming on the 8th again, so yes.
So it sounds like you had this gap, this 3 to 5 p.m. gap in your life with the way things happened for you, but you've been able to, by moving to Hamilton, fill that gap with your siblings and your mum when she can be here.
Yes, and that has worked for us. So
that's so good. Your children can also have that experience.
Yes,
that,
absolutely.
That you had. Why do you think it is that you didn't get the visa living in Auckland, but you could get it when you moved to the Bay of Plenty? Can you tell us, for people that don't know about how that works?
I'm not sure how things are right now, but back in the days, there was a point system. So I think we got 30 points straight away if you were outside Auckland. And at the time, you needed to have a job that was related to your study. I was already married by that time, but my husband at the time, he got a manager position offered in Bay of Plenty Countdown. That's why he moved here, so he could have the points that were needed to apply for residency. So
that worked. That's interesting. Yeah, it is interesting because for people that perhaps don't understand those challenges.
Yes.
And the big cities are often where there is more opportunity, but cool.
Yeah, it's quite ironic though that you would have to move out of the city in order to get those points as opposed to being in the city where there are more opportunities. So, but that's how things work. So.
So you'd spent quite a bit of time in New Zealand before you moved here to Hamilton. And it sounds like you knew a bit about the city. So how did it work for you when you first came here, and what were your impressions, I guess, of Hamilton? And how did you go about settling in and getting yourself and your children settled?
I've always seen home in Hamilton, to be very honest. 2 years prior to this, we were here every weekend. I've always compared Hamilton to Auckland, you know, how crowded Auckland is. I always wanted to live in a city, but not in Auckland because it's too crowded. I'm always so scared to drive in Auckland. But Hamilton, I love. It's got everything here, everything you need. Everything is close by. You don't have to, you know, when I was in Wahee, I had to either go to Auckland or to Tauranga to even just go shopping, basic things for the kids, to the mall, or even the hospital was so far away. So you've got all the amenities here in Hamilton, but it's not as crowded as Auckland, so it's just perfect for us. And Uber Eats. Oh, we missed Uber Eats when we were in Hawaii for years. And yeah, we're making most of Uber Eats now that we're here, so yes.
You're listening to The New Wave, a series profiling the diverse people of Kirikiriroa. I'm your host, Kate Prestige, and my guest today is nursing student and proud mum, Adisha Verma. What were some of the biggest differences, I guess, that you noticed? And we might go back a little bit, perhaps, to when you first came out from Chandigarh. You had, obviously, the bereavement of your dad, which was really sad, and also this responsibility to support your family. What were some of the big differences, I guess, you noticed when you first came to New Zealand?
I think the biggest difference for me personally was being lonely, coming from a family that had 18 people, to me being alone, to living with six people who I have no idea about, never met before, all from different age groups and cultural, you know, backgrounds. It was hard, although I did make some very good friends at the uni, but that was only for a short period of time because you're only going to the uni till 3, and that too not every day. So I think loneliness and not having that personal face-to-face conversation or touch of your family or anyone or your friends was really hard. I remember back in the day, I didn't even know about social media back then, but someone set me up on Orkut. We had Orkut back in the days. I didn't know about Facebook, and we had Messengers and Viber on your phone. So I remember video calling my friends every night. We used to do a group conversation, and we were always on video with mum. She used to cry all the time that you've gone. And of course, she was alone too, grieving as well. So yeah, it was being alone was a very big, I would say, thing that I had to fight. Especially the first year, it was really hard. Yeah.
So what happened after that?
After that, I met the man I married. We were spending a lot of time together, and I had that companion, and he was older than me, so he kind of understood. He was mature. And not long after that, we even got married. So I had that companion, someone to kind of rely on. And again, I think given that he was older, he was kind of fulfilling that fatherly place too in our lives, because he had kind of taken over responsibility wise. So that made a huge difference to the way I was feeling when I first came here. Yeah.
And by this stage you were working?
Yes.
But I then guess you had your first child.
It was at 21.
How did that go in terms of your career and your work and the changes?
It was a big change, I would say. I had to pause everything for a good 18 months work, and even there was this time that I couldn't even help mum financially, which I felt really guilty about at the time, but thankfully we managed. I think I could not even think of anything at that time because I was so focused only on looking after Siona all the time. And considering I was so young, most of the time I didn't even know what I was doing. And she was a colicky baby too, so she was constantly crying. So I just honestly, I did not even have space in my brain to think of anything else in those 2 years until I went back to work part-time again. So yeah, it was quite full on.
Would have been. What support were you able to get in those early days with the baby?
My midwife to begin with, she was amazing. Judy Bellamy, I still remember her, and I made sure she was my midwife again when I got pregnant with my second child. She was amazing. She was like a mother. And soon after I had Siona, I think within 3 months, my mum was able to come here too. And my husband was very helpful. He used to cook and he used to help me clean too because I was always with Siona the whole time, even though he was working. So, yeah, I think I formed a very close bond with my midwife too at that time, and we're still friends to date.
That's important. You need those people, don't you?
100%.
Was there anything when you first came here that surprised you in a good way or in a bad way?
I wouldn't say surprised. It was a bit of a struggle, I would say, when I used to go out to eat, because I come from a pure vegetarian family. I'm not vegetarian anymore. We're fully converted now. But I used to struggle to find places to have pure vegetarian food. We didn't even used to have eggs. So, and you know, everything, even the vegetable oils and whatnot, would have some kind of beef fat or some kind of animal fat in it. So that was a bit of a shock to me that it's such a big, beautiful country, but I'm struggling to find a place to have pure vegetarian food. So that was a bit of a shock, knowing that there were so many Indians in the country already. But yeah, there was a, like, okay, wow.
That is interesting. Has it changed, do you think, in the 16 years you've been here, 17?
I'm not too sure because I'm not bothered anymore. So
that's true if you're not looking for it.
Yeah.
That is interesting. I wonder if that has changed, yeah. So you found some work. You met your former husband and started your family. You met this amazing midwife. One of the things I was interested in was how you stayed connected to home, but it sounds like you were in pretty constant contact.
Yes, every day. Mum used to video call us every day, yeah. But then she's been coming here on and off ever since I had Siona. Every 6 months or 18 months he would stay. Yeah, and especially now that all of us are here, she doesn't even have to think about what's happening back home because there's no one to look after, as opposed to before when grandparents had to look after my siblings when she came to help. Yeah.
Are there any other members of your family here apart from your two siblings?
No, just us.
Just you guys.
Yeah.
Are there things that you still miss about home? What are the things that you miss about India or about Chandigarh particularly?
October, November, December is the peak time when all the big festivals are celebrated in India. That's the time I miss home the most because here you're just working. Yes, you do celebrate in your own, you know, in your little families or you go to the temple, but it's not on that big scale. It's all the colours, it's all the shopping, all the decorations. You decorate your homes and on Diwali or other festivals. We can't do it on that scale in New Zealand as we would be able to do it back home, especially because most of our extended family is still back home. So it's just us three. How much can you do, you know? So that's, and especially when you can't have a day off on the day of the festival, that's quite heartbreaking. But now I make sure I am home for the kids. But you know what I mean? Yeah, it's that part of back home that I really miss, not being there when everyone's celebrating and we're working.
So are you sharing that culture with the children? How
100%,
do you do
that? Yes. Yeah. Even if it's just the three of us and my siblings are working, I make sure that we always dress up, we do the prayers, we have all the books. It explains why the festival is celebrated and what's the significance behind it. I read it to them. My kids are bilingual, they understand the language, so I just make sure that we do whatever in our capacity. We decorate the house or we dress up 100%. 100%. We 100% dress up, take photos, read, you know, do our prayers and read the stories behind it and make sure that they are involved.
Have you been able to take the children back to Chandigarh?
Yes, just this year in March, April. I went after 10 years because Mum's always here, so we never went. This was the first time my son went because he's never been. So it was really interesting. He loved it. He didn't want to come back. Like, okay. It was really fun.
How did your family find it over there with when you came?
Mum, she was dealing with some health issues at the time, but the other family members, they were chuffed to see my kids, especially now Siona's grown. She's 13. So they had seen her when, 10 years ago when we went for someone's wedding. It was a big change for them to see from, you know, when they were so little to now. And for Rehan, they'd never met. So it was amazing. Everyone wanted to take Rehan everywhere. They were all over him. They loved it.
That's probably why he loved it. Yeah. He got so much attention. Tell us a little bit about what you're doing now.
I was working for ANZ as an assistant manager until June. And after that, I was still contemplating whether I should be applying for other positions or what should I be doing. But then I thought, now that the kids are a little bit older and we literally live two streets away from my siblings. So I thought this is the time I need to see if I can actually get into the field that I've always wanted to be in. Because when you're earning, you know that the money's going to keep on coming. You're in that comfortable position. You don't want to move out of it. But now I knew it was a couple of weeks when I wasn't getting paid, or I had a feel of how it feels without having any income coming in. And I thought it's worth a shot. I need to try this because I would always regret not doing it. So I just made a choice in July. I started the course. I was like, now I need to do it. And I got into it. And I loved it. I loved it. Becoming a full-time student, I thought it would be challenging. But no, it perfectly gelled in with the kids' school timing. And we used to study together in the evening. They used to do their homework. I was doing my assignments. Everything just came together perfectly. So, and I loved every bit of it. So now I'm going to be pursuing nursing. I'm on a little wait list with Wintec, but I got into the uni. But I would rather stay with Wintec because now I know the tutors. I've got that really good bond with them. So I'm hoping that now that the results are out, and I got an award for excellence yesterday. So I'm hoping that would help change their mind and get me into the course. So I would start the studies in February then.
So that's that return to the medical area that you first were looking at when you were a young woman.
Yes.
And now, 15, 16 years on, you're coming full circle.
Yes, I am.
Back to nursing. Oh, that is exciting. Do you feel that coming here is, in the way that you described, has sort of shaped who you are now?
100%. And I would recommend that to every young person in India, given how the way that the country is going. I would like to start off with how pampered kids are back home. Parents provide for everything. The culture here, as opposed to the culture here, that the kids move out and they, you know, become independent and they, you know, go on their own journey, as opposed to their kids, even 30 or 40 years old or year olds, are still being pampered by their families, and they just are so irresponsible. They just don't know what to do in their lives. I mean, each to their own, but I really feel for someone to actually have that independent personality and grow on their own accord, I think it's important for someone to go through this experience, that you have to go through all the good and the hardships of life that would mold you into the person you are today. For myself, for example, I really want to set that example for my kids. Like, I really look up to my mum. She has done everything for us. Even after Dad passed away, she made sure that we had a good life, even when we were on our own. So I really want to be that one for my kids that they look up to, not just academically, but even as a person, that, you know, she was there. She's our idol. This is how I want to be. So I think for someone to become that person, they do need to go through these experiences rather than just sitting at home and, you know, under the umbrella of their family or their parents and being looked after all life, yeah.
I mean, you had to make this journey, but what would you say to somebody, you know, who's thinking of this?
Yeah, no, 100% they should. They need to learn it on their own. They need to go through these experiences in their own life. Well, yes, there was support from family emotionally, but then they're not here. They can't help you financially. You need to learn those ways in order to become successful. Yes, there's luck, but again, you need to work hard to be somewhere in life. So I think it's really important.
Why do you think it is that in your culture at home, the parents and the wider family do really protect the children right through into what we would consider adulthood?
I think that ties back to all the crime and all the corruption and everything that comes along with it, all the bad things. So they're all protective of their kids. some of the parents don't want their kids to go out and do things on their own because they're scared that, you know, they might, I don't know, get murdered, or they might get kidnapped, or they don't want to send their kids too far away from home, or just that overprotection part that they don't want to expose the kids too much. So I think that kind of keeps them having to look after them for their whole life, so that they don't have to be exposed to things that maybe they were exposed to in their life prior years when they were younger. I think it is a major part of why parents are so overprotective still.
So looking back, particularly I think in the time since you've come to New Zealand, what are you most proud of?
One of the things I'm most proud of is how I have evolved as a person. I was also a pampered child back home, but now I'm independent enough to not just look after my kids on my own, but also support my family. Also, I have learned to say no. And I've grown so much from that immature little girl to a young woman who is self-sufficient. And I think I don't need anyone else to live this life. So I think it's just that personal involvement that I've learned through the experiences living in New Zealand that I'm most proud of.
Yeah. That's a pretty cool note for us to end on, Adisha. Is there anything that I haven't asked you that you want to tell us about?
I just want to add a little note here that I'm just glad that I made this decision to come to New Zealand, because not just that it's a beautiful country, but I think it has not only supported me and my kids, but also my family back home. Had we not made the decision, I don't even know where we would be at this stage in life. So I'm just glad that we made the decision to come to New Zealand, yeah.
Well, we're glad to have you. So thank you so much for being part of the New Wave podcast, our series one. It's been so lovely speaking with you, Adisha. Thank you for
Likewise.
Being part of it.
Thank you, Kay. Thank you for having me. Thank you, Paul.
Thanks for listening to The New Wave. That was Adisha's story, featuring former IT professional, mum, student nurse, and sometimes afternoon dancer, Adisha Verma. The New Wave is a diversity storytelling project by WinTech School of Media Arts researchers Kate Prestige and Paul Nelson. This podcast is made with the support of community access media station Free FM 89. If you'd like to know more about the project or get involved, check the show notes for more info.
This Free FM podcast was brought to you with support from New Zealand On Air.